Welcome to our reflections for this, the fourth Sunday in the Easter season. Last week we heard the young people proclaiming, and most of them unquestioningly, that God is good all the time God is good. And I'd like to return to that over the next couple of weeks. And today we have the help of two very well-known and much-loved passages of Scripture, which together give us so, so much. We've already heard the song based on Psalm 23. And some of you will all but know this psalm off by heart, either in its 17th century form, the very first Bibles appearing in the English language of the day. Others of you, more recent translations, of which there are many. But regardless of translation, the overarching themes include provision and presence, both of which are captured in a series of images that in their turn have so captured the imagination. And one of the reasons why this psalm is so very much loved. Now, it's all types of provision and various forms of presence, including themes like worship and protection and blessing. But these two main themes of provision and presence and the language or the images used could well be the answer to the question, if asked, what is God like? And the answer is caught in actions, the things God does, but also in a role, specifically that of a shepherd. And no wonder, as the author of this psalm was himself once a shepherd, though now a king, and the second having no need to relinquish the first. David was a shepherd king in all the best ways. Now the question, what is God like, is picked up too as the subtext to this morning's gospel, John chapter 10. The reply once again caught in actions, the things God does, but also in role. What is God like? Specifically that, again, of a shepherd. But here, expanded to the good shepherd. Because since King David, there have been many kings who were not shepherds of the people. They were not good imitators of God, the shepherd. They were not good imitators of David, the shepherd king. So the themes here are not exactly the same as those in the psalm. Less is made of provision, though it's still there in the going out to find pasture. But much, much more is made of the role of keeping the flock safe. Over and over, the images, as many as in the psalm, unfold around the theme of keeping the flock safe. How? And who from? Or what from? So provision of safety and a protective presence are the key forms here in John 10. I want us to do a little bit of work on both these themes, provision of safety, protective presence, but I want to do it really through, if you like, a camera lens of access. Access to God's goodness, access to God's mercy, access to God's provision and protection and his presence. So provision in the general sense. There is for all those who've not lost their jobs and in the country at large enough food, plenty even. And yet our shops and marketplaces look like war zones, with markings and arrows and queuing and masks and extra staff to make sure we adhere to new rules. To an alien, it would look as did the scarcity queues in war and post-war times, only the coupons are missing. Gone for us is the concept of window shopping or browsing leisurely, replaced by a focus on get what you need and go home. Now, there's always been enough food in the world, even before COVID-19, but access has been denied to some, mostly on the basis of poverty, both individual and national. Certainly equal access has been denied. And maybe these times are a good opportunity for all of us, governments and individuals alike, to rethink that. This week we've had, as we get every 2 weeks now, government directives. We've also had church directives about our communal lives. And the warning is always that this virus, and therefore the consequences for living at all, and certainly safely and well, will be with us until a vaccine not is found, but until a vaccine is available to all. So gone perhaps here, the unequal access to medicine and medical care that has been so part of the global normal. Because of course, a virus knows no boundaries. A virus does not differentiate, as people do, between countries of origin or wealth or any of the other determining factors in the access of old. If we are all to be safe, we all need access to this vaccine. So provision for all, protective provision for all. And then secondly, the presence, specifically protective presence, that we have in both Psalm 23, but much more made of in John 10. Now, during the days of Passiontide, we were invited to pray for the persecuted church and also the oppressed peoples of the world. And this year, my prayers for those two groups of people have been totally different to previous years. It dawned on me early on in that season that the persecuted and the oppressed will de facto be denied access to medical care and the protection it offers, access to corona testing, access to treatment, denied access too to the items that can help keep safe, like even water and soap. And of course, less protection means being even more vulnerable, but for reasons wholly other than those known to us here, like previous health conditions or age. So the thieves and bandits of John 10 and the stranger that come to steal and to kill and to destroy are there looking at the vulnerable. And some are vulnerable through no reasons that can be addressed, but some are vulnerable because of human activity, access denied on all sorts of bases. Putting all that together, COVID-19 has robbed us all of much. It's robbed us of freedoms and human contact and security and jobs and, at worst, of course, lives. It has robbed us too of the certainties we once held. And survival will depend on access to provision and protection alike. And the question for governments, and not only governments, but societies and communities and individuals like ourselves and people of faith, are the access decisions that are going to be made life-giving or life-robbing? And for whom? And in closing, I want to add, really, one more thing. Provision, protection, presence are not only to be seen in what we deem as the necessities of life, but lives are at risk too, at emotional, spiritual and mental levels. And those are below the radar at the moment, but they're there and they're very real. These are where some of the struggles have been the hardest, and they will continue to be. So we work hard and mindfully as human beings and as people of faith to not add to and indeed to counter that stealing and destroying that we read about in John 10. That can happen so easily in strained times, by acts of meanness and unkindness, by words that show neither understanding nor grace. I came, says Jesus today, as then, that they and you and we all may have life and have it abundantly. And when those around us need provision or protection or a reminder of God's presence, be they the nameless and faceless masses across the globe, or the visible queues at the Essenausgabe and the Tafa, or the fleeting encounters in the impatient queues in shops, we can be those who add to the experience of a belief that God is good all the time. And on this Vocation Sunday, when we remember our baptism and the call to vocation it initiated, and the model of shepherding given to us in Psalm 23 and John 10, prayerfully, actively, we can offset some of the things that would rob people of joy and the fullness of life. We can be the answer to some people's prayers, and in some small way, also shepherds. I came, says Jesus, today, as then, that they and you and we may all have life and have it abundantly.